Podcast Radio Network.
Contest is scheduled for one fall. In this corner, we have originally from Boston, Massachusetts, now hailing from Louisville, Kentucky, Mike TFG One Blanchard from the Geekcast Radio Network, and his tag team partner, originally hailing from Owen Sound, Ontario, now from the middle of who freaking knows, we have Mike the Birdman Dawn. Together, they are the supersized guys. And what are we doing here? Well, we are here to talk wrestling. That's right, guys. I'm Mike the Birdman Daw, but I'm not alone in my corner. I have
TFG and Mike.
You know, it's not often I get a chance to project that loud in the studio. I'm pretty sure I woke up my neighbors, so really sorry, guys. It's only once a month. But anyway, yes, this is the long-awaited wrestling show. We've actually been talking about doing this for quite some time.
Well, you have. You've been saying to me and Dustin Van Court. No, it's been longer because it's been at least 3 years since I was running Twig. Because it was like 2010, 2011. Oh, God, 4 or 5 years almost at this point, because it was 2010 or 2011 or 2012 where for a while there I was the driving force and got all the technical crap done for ThisWeekInGeek.net. But yeah, no, and the show, which will be featured on This Week in Geek and the Geekcast Radio Network's podcast, Geekcast Radio, is called Mayhem Mikes.
That's right, and I actually have to send a big shout-out to my friend Chris Peddle, who was the host of Beyond the Gauntlet, which I'm not sure whether that show is continuing or not right now, but that's another topic for a different day. He actually helped come up with the name for our tag team, the supersized guys. I think our finisher is called the Combo or something like that. The supersized combo. Basically, we flatten the motherfuckers, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, between the two of us, I think we probably have a combined weight of 975 pounds.
We are the Ton of Fun, which could be our like alternate name. But yeah, so it's been really cool. I guess we should probably talk about what we're going to talk about on this show. So,
okay, here's a rundown, folks. We're going to each month, we're going to have this episode once a month featured on Geekcast Radio's flagship podcast titled Geekcast Radio and This Week in Geeks podcast. We're going to run through 5 or 6 different things here. We're going to have the intro general chat kind of thing. We're going to then, you know, talk about what's going on with WWE, specifically to Raw and SmackDown over the previous month. So what we're going to talk about here is a couple of news stories that happened either right after WrestleMania or what led up to WrestleMania. Then we're actually going to review that month's pay-per-view. We're going to spoil the hell out of it. If anyone hasn't seen it, first of all, WWE Network's only $9.99, so go get it now. And then, not this episode of the show, but the next one, we're going to do a spotlight on the WWE Network. So we'll pick something to watch from the network and review it. This time we're going to use that time to actually talk about the network itself and its launch and what we thought of it and where we think it's going, and then we'll just close the show after that.
Yeah, pretty much. So hopefully you guys will enjoy this. Now, disclaimer, I am by no means an expert in this. I've only been with WWE since January of last year. I've seen every pay-per-view since, and I've seen about 3 or 4 WrestleManias previous to that, and I've lost the last 5 years' money in the bank.
For me, I have been watching wrestling off and on since probably 1986, honestly. I am by no means an expert in the field of watching sports entertainment whatsoever, because there have been times where I dropped out. I actually do remember my dad taking me. I don't remember what year it was. It was one of Junkyard Dog's last times he was ever, you know, in a WWE ring. But I remember going and seeing Junkyard Dog, and I remember seeing Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper face off in a match. And it was amazing. Since about 2007 is kind of where I've been keeping tabs on WWE, specifically to Raw. SmackDown, for the longest time, has just been, that's that Friday show. They goof off on that show. Vicky Guerrero ran that thing into the ground, even though Vicky's no longer with, you know, WWE.
I love Vicky. She was so much fun. Excuse me! It was annoying, but I loved her.
The best time Vicky ever had is when they did the Marriage to Edge storyline. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Before 2007, I did watch in the Stone Cold, the Attitude Era. I did watch the whole Stone Cold, Kurt Angle thing. I actually remember a match where I think, wasn't it Stone Cold and Booker T? He chased Booker T to a supermarket or something. It was kind of awesome. But WrestleMania 23 is really, 2007 is really where I got into it. And the only reason why I got into it is because of rock music. Saliva did their Ladies and Gentlemen for the theme song that year. I gotta say, as of right now, only purely for the venues, WrestleMania 24 and 31 are my favorites, for purely for where the event was located. WrestleMania needs to be outside every frigging year, people. It really does.
Well, I guess that's vastly dependent upon the weather.
Well, true, but yeah.
Now, for myself, I did mention I've only really been in the last year or so, but previous to that, I did watch a lot of wrestling in the 80s. Like, I grew up with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, and Ultimate Warrior and all that stuff. I remember many playground arguments with my friend Wayne over who was better, Hulk Hogan or Ultimate Warrior. This guy was a super fan for that. And then I took a break when Hulk Hogan left WWF at that time. And in high school, I had this friend of mine. He was an encyclopedia of all things wrestling at that time. And he loaned me the Stone Cold story that was out on VHS at that time in like 97 or something. And this was when the Monday Night Wars were in full swing and all this shit. And I was one of the few people not watching wrestling. I mean, I knew who The Rock was. I had one of the CDs of all their entrance music, and I just really liked The Rock's. So I was kind of half paying attention then. I remember going to the movies and seeing that WCW movie with David Arquette, which was really fucking dumb. I think it was called Ready to Rumble or something.
Yeah, it was.
And I remember this too. A friend of mine's dad, he worked for a limousine company, and somehow he got us tickets to a house show that was surprisingly enough held in my hometown of Owen Sound. And I remember, I'm trying to remember who fought there. I remember Yokozuna was there. I'm pretty sure the Bushwhackers. I want to say Macho Man, and I know The Undertaker was there, because I didn't go in the McDonald's, but my friend did and got to meet him. And I'm thinking, what? Why didn't you fucking tell me? He's like, I'm like, fuck you, dude. So that was years back. The main reason I got back into it is I have a lot of friends on my Twitter and Facebook that are always talking about it. And a friend of mine specifically named Noah Antweiler, a guy you all know as Spoonie, he does a podcast called Wrestle Wrestle. And I see how much he gets out of it. Admittedly, he complains a lot about it, thus the hashtag Spoonie hates everything. And I'm like, okay, what's the big fucking deal? So I came in, I remember exactly the date. I came in on the Raw right after Royal Rumble last year, where CM Punk went and walked. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then for some reason, I remember Daniel Bryan coming out to the Yes Chant, and I forget who was fighting. I want to say he was fighting like Rybacksel or something that night. which I'm glad they've gotten him away from Curtis Axel. And that's just kind of where it started. I went to go see my next pay-per-view in our local theater, because up here in Canada, you can go see the pay-per-views. I think it's like $20. You go see it on this big fucking movie screen. So I went there with my wife, Blair. She wasn't into it at all. But once we got there, we're like, man, this is really fucking cool. We saw the Usos win the tag team championships. I'm pretty sure it was from Road Dogg and Billy Gunn at that time, which the Old Age Outlaws, the hell. And then we saw WrestleMania 30 last year, and we'd been following Raw and SmackDown, and even Main Event and Superstars to a limited extent, and we really got into Daniel Bryan. So we started watching that, and we cheered when he won. We were shocked as hell when The Undertaker lost to Lesnar. It was intense in this house. Like I said, I'm 99% sure I woke up my neighbors that night with the, what the fuck? And then when Daniel Bryan won that, yes! And it was, you know what? It was like Stanley Cup Finals around here. That's how intense it was. But
I have such a negative opinion of Brock Lesnar, and I know Brock Lesnar isn't going to care about my opinion, but I mean, I guess I can look at it objectively and say the guy is doing well for himself, only having to really work one day a year.
Well, to be fair, he only has to work pay-per-views when they need a monster, pretty much.
Right, but see, that's what I don't like about it.
He's not a fighting champion.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, the authority... For the longest time, Steph and Triple H have said, oh, we want a fighting champion. We want a fighting champion. How the frig is Brock Lesnar a fighting champion? He comes around, like you said, when he's needed, and he basically destroys everybody. I was so hoping that Taker would have beaten him. Because what I would have loved to have seen at WrestleMania 30 is Taker wins, Taker retires. Because let's face it, Undertaker, as awesome and as impressive as he has been in his entire career, he's getting up there. He can't continue to do the WrestleMania thing every single year. And honestly, I was surprised when Lesnar, I was shocked just like everybody else when Lesnar beat him. I'm really surprised they didn't have him retire then anyway. Because at this point, the guy's defeated. I mean, we'll talk about it in a little while when he comes back for 31, but I'm just not a fan of Brock Lesnar whatsoever. And what's worse, and this is just so stupid of me, but what's worse for Brock Lesnar, they put him in some Hardee's commercial? Are you serious? This is Brock Lesnar. He's not supposed to do the only time we ever see him, as you said, is when they need a monster. And it just, oh man, I am so not a fan of Brock Lesnar.
See, I became a fan of Lesnar after SummerSlam, where he basically tossed Cena around like a fucking rag doll, which was amazing. I remember I was sitting here watching it with my friend Sean, Shannon, and Blair, and we're counting the suplexes, 16 or 17 when he was done fucking around with them. And it was, see, I became a fan of Lesnar because he is that machine they need. Now, someone brought this point up to me a while ago, saying back in the day, you didn't always have Hulk Hogan or Macho Man on TV all the time either. So it's the same kind of thought train with Lesnar. Now, Lesnar works maybe 3 or 4 pay-per-views a year, and he gets paid. I think he's making something like $5 million for the next 3 years or something. So it's not to say that he doesn't earn his money, but can you imagine how much money he makes per second when he's in the ring?
No, and I understand that. I'm just saying, like, I don't want the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to exchange people every week on Raw or every month on Raw. I just want something where if we have a pay-per-view, the championship is up for grabs. I don't care who has it. I mean, friggin' El Torito could have the damn thing. I don't care.
I'm just glad it's not Cena.
Because see, that's where we differ right there.
Only because he would tie Ric Flair, and if he's going to get it and surpass Flair, it should be his retirement match. That's my opinion.
No. So little backstory, and I know that this one's going to be a little bit long, folks, since we're doing our whole introduction here, but Cena is one of my people. He's a Boston boy, so it's not just because of that why I root for him, but that's the main reason. And you know, Cena is that everyman at this point. And, you know, sure, people boo him, people cheer him, but he is the one that, in my personal opinion, out of... all right, let's take a lineup of the locker room. Cena's at the top, Orton, Rollins, Reigns, Ryback, whoever else you want to put after them. Cena's the one that's always in the media because Cena is the face of the company. I don't care what Randy Orton says. I don't care what Seth Rollins says. Cena has always been, since he started...
It's because he sells t-shirts. Now, that's not to say right. he's not a bad worker, because I've seen Cena at two house shows. Mm-hmm. And if anybody says he's not a good worker, fuck off. Because, yeah. Oh my God, when he tries, his matches yeah. are phenomenal. Especially, I think it was Royal Rumble, where it was him... Lesnar and Rollins, mm-hmm. God damn, that was awesome. Yep. He puts on really great matches. I think the problem is, I think the character's gotten stale.
See, I now, and we'll talk about this when we talk about WrestleMania a little bit later in the show. Now, I don't think it's gotten stale because now they've put him in a direction where he's fighting for the American way.
Which is kind of funny because this way of thinking, I think, went out with the 80s and 90s. I mean, I guess it's cool we have, like, a bad guy, like a true bad guy. But the fact mm-hmm. that Rusev gets more of a pop than Cena at events, he's more of a baby face than Cena is. And here's why. Actually, to talk about WrestleMania for a second, right at the end of that match, Rusev charges Cena. Cena ducks out of the way, knocks Lana to the fucking mat, and mm-hmm. that's something a heel does. That's a bad guy thing. See, a real good guy would go down, see if she's okay, whether she's a bad person or not. You don't knock down a woman like that, especially when you're trying to portray this larger-than-life, Captain America hero.
Oh, wait, are you talking about Cena or Rusev
Cena.
Here? Because
Cena should have went down because... Because he pulled that kind of heel move, yeah, he won. Mm-hmm. But still, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was about to say, where am I going to go with this? But, fuck, I don't know.
let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about a couple of news stories around the WWE after this. So we are back here on Mayhem Mikes, and it is time to talk about some major breaking news. AJ Lee retires from in-ring competition.
You know what? I can't say that I'm surprised. And I'm surprised it's taken this long, actually. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's good that she got to retire after a WrestleMania as opposed to here's some random SmackDown or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I'm surprised it's taken this long considering her husband signed with like UFC or whatever. And yeah. the fact that she was off TV from, I think, like, December to, like, just pretty much the last couple of weeks mm-hmm. after a eye incident where I think the Bellas got hairspray in her eye or something fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't know, man. AJ Lee was pretty cool for the most part. The whole character thing she had, it was, you know, kind of interesting. It was funny at certain times.
I liked it when she actually fought, but some of her character shit was just annoying as shit.
It was, yes, but I loved it when she was the Raw GM because I loved seeing her and Vicky Guerrero go at it. But, wish AJ all the best. You know, I mean, she's still the longest reigning Divas champion, so there is that.
Now, to talk about the Divas division for a minute mm-hmm. here, I'm actually a huge fan of it, but mm-hmm. evidently they are not, which I don't fucking get, because you know what? I love people like, and I honestly became a fan of the division because of Total Divas. I'd never miss an episode. Yeah, I suck.
I don't either. And the one reason why I like watching Total Divas, honestly, has nothing to do with the drama that goes on that show. It has to do with when they go into the, you know, the back of Raw or SmackDown, or when they go talk to Mark Carano, and we see the behind the scenes of how some of the storylines come about.
I just want to know how these people are like when they're not throwing each other through glass and whatnot. Like, like Daniel Bryan seems like the kind of guy, if you ran into him on the street and he wasn't busy, he might have a coffee with you. Yeah. That's how friendly that guy seems. Although, because of the show, I'm less of a fan of the Bellas because Nikki, and my God, I hate her. But
wait a second, hold on here. Hold on. You hate Nikki and you also hate Cena. Wow.
Well, okay.
No, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I kind of agree with you on Nikki. She kind of epitomizes what WWE Network is all about. She is way over the top.
She's kind of a brat. That's what I don't like about her. I'm thinking, Jesus, man. And then I don't know, but then again, Brie can be a bit of a flake too. But I'm a huge fan of Naomi because of that. Like, goddamn, I actually said this a few months ago. If they were still casting the new X-Men movie, she would be an awesome young Storm. Like, you put her in the Storm outfit, I think that'd be fucking sweet. But anyway, yeah, I mean, there are so many talented people in that division, but they have two characters, Bitch and Super Bitch. And it sucks because some of these people have legitimate fighting skills. Like I said, Naomi, Natalya, Paige, when they don't turn her into some weird goth lesbian thing. Like, let her fight. When she was in NXT, it was great early on in her career. I remember her first match after she won the title. She was throwing people the hell around. It was awesome. And then there are other divas who shouldn't be there. And it's nothing against these people personally. But Eva Marie, you are a goddess on earth. But Jesus Christ, you can't fight.
Well, I've watched Raw and SmackDown for the past, you know, 3 or 4 months trying to keep up with it, but I haven't seen her on there. She hasn't been on there.
She is, but it's so rare, and if she shows up, she's like a valet, or she wins in less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's not cool, because they set her up on Total Divas Season 1. They set her up, the newbie, coming into it, and they gave her a really damn good, you know, promotional push as far as, you know, off, you know, outside the ring kind of thing. And
then her boobs exploded. And then she was off TV and no one cared. You know what? I don't mind her as a person about 90% of the time. There are some things she says that are pretty fucking stupid. Then again, her husband sucks.
We'll be here all night talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh god, he's an ass.
But there's other people like Cameron. I'm glad she went back down to NXT to learn how to fight. Yeah. And every time she says girl bye, I want to fucking punch something beautiful. I hate that phrase.
I think that's how I'm gonna close the show. I'm gonna find a clip of Cameron girl and bye. We're gonna close with girl bye.
That should be the closing for every show now, just girl bye. Fuck, I hate that girl. But anyway, but they have all these other divas and they never get a chance. Like Emma, sure, her gimmick's kind of stupid, but she has a real athletic ability. Plus, when she was on Raw with Santino, that was fucking hilarious. That's what made me a fan of her, because she's fun. And
for the longest time, that's what Santino needed. He, instead of having, and I get it, Santino is supposed to be this
joke character.
He's supposed to be a joke character, but it was horrible. The whole storyline of him and his quote unquote sister. Everyone and their mother knew that was Santino in drag. I mean, that's almost as worse. It's almost as bad as the Deke people putting Lou Albano and Danny Wells in drag on Super Mario Brothers Super Show, for crap's sake.
Man, you had to reach for that one, didn't you?
No, I didn't at all. You know, it's one of those things where when Emma came on the scene with the female Cobra thing, it was like, oh, this is going to be great for Santino, because he's going to have, you know, a mixed tag team partner, and he's going to have all, you know. The two times I've actually loved Santino is when crap happens to him.
Oh, yeah.
When crap happens to him, it's awesome. The first time was when Stone Cold brought in the beer truck and basically drenched him and Maria. on a Raw, and then the other time was Batista. Santino was wearing some sort of mask. Batista comes up, pulls it, and lets it go on his face.
The times I really got into Santino, there was a gag on SmackDown, I think it was, where he took Emma out for a date and just fucked everything up that possibly could go wrong. And then he was at a house show back in, I want to say, like September or something of last year, or maybe it was. Yeah. No, it was my first house show that I ever went to, and he announced his in-ring retirement because of his neck, and he just come out and gave this like 5-minute speech to the Toronto crowd, because he actually has a school in Mississauga, which is a suburb of Toronto, that's his fighting academy, so he's like a Toronto guy, which I thought was actually pretty fucking kick-ass. To go back to Divas, though, they don't know what to do with them. And I agree with the whole give Divas a chance, because like I said, there are some legitimate athletes in there who can do some really cool shit. But can we please focus on the athleticism and give them a storyline that isn't stupid? You know who I'd love to see, and we see her in WrestleMania? If we could have a tough, beautiful Ronda Rousey-like person to show up in the Divas division right now, that'd be awesome. And God,
how about they just hire her? Forget finding a lookalike for her.
I would love to see that. Oh my God, I'd love to see that. Like, actually, I'm not gonna lie. After seeing that, I actually went out and hunted down wallpaper for her. So I've got Ronda Rousey dressed up as a Saiyan on my wallpaper on my phone right now. Now, admittedly, you can see her ass, which is amazing. Sorry, I like boobs. I'm a man, but still, the fact that she's never lost a fight, she's tough as shit. Like, goddamn. And the fact that she wore that Vegeta shirt at WrestleMania, I actually tweeted at Namco Bandai Games and, like, Funimation, please put her in the game. It will take you 20 minutes to make a new character model. I know you can do this. I think it'd be awesome just to have a female Saiyan Ronda Rousey. I'm just saying, because that'd be so fucking cool. But, no, like I said, that's a division that needs more love than it gets, and hopefully this whole give Divas a chance things will happen, but I'm trying to think of another person. I like Layla when she gets a chance to do stuff. Rosa, I like her as a person. I genuinely do. She seems like a really nice woman, but my God, you're doing nothing.
Yeah, she has even more. She's around more than Eva Marie, and she has less to do than Eva Marie ever did. And it just.
It sucks.
I don't care about Rosa.
Which, like I said, you may be a nice woman, but. And then they got rid of a bunch of divas, too. Like, I remember when they got rid of Oksana last year. Now, admittedly, she could fight ish when she wanted to, but they didn't do much with like her either. And there's Charlotte and Bayley in NXT, and they're fucking great. I dread the day they get brought up to Raw and SmackDown, because they water them down so badly.
Well, here's the problem. NXT is kind of like the rated R superstar of WWE. That's pretty much where anything goes, because it's pretty. Isn't NXT predominantly on WWE Network?
Yeah.
It's not on live television. Yeah, it's not on live television. So, well,
it's on. It's live when you want to stream it or have their pay per views, quote unquote.
Right, but it's not like on USA or Sci-Fi or
whatever. Yeah,
you know, it's not on actual live television. It's on the network itself, and they can do that. The problem is as you said, Raw and SmackDown. This is the PG era of WWE, and
I think they're afraid of letting them do bigger things and letting them actually have bigger fights. Now, admittedly, they did do something right, and this was recently. They had the Lucha Dragons premiere against Tyson Kidd and Cesaro this past week on Raw. God damn, that's how you do an entrance. The one, not Sin Cara, but the other guy whose name I completely forget.
Rey Mysterio?
No, he left the company like 2 months ago. But
it's the only one I can think of that is like Sin Cara.
But he does this really cool flip move around Cesaro, and this guy moves like fucking Spider-Man. It was so cool to see him do that, and the crowd was chanting NXT. They also had like a bunch of other guys from like NXT. I'm not super familiar with them, so I don't want to drop names. But sometimes when they bring people up from NXT, they fuck them up. And one of them, notably, because these guys were awesome in NXT, I watched a few matches with them, was The Ascension. And then they turned into Quan Chi, Kratos, Road Warrior ripoffs. And they suck. They suck so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I do not get the point. Like, if you're going to have a tag team, let them have them grow. And the tag team division in WWE right now is so weak. Like, what's the point? You have like five guys chasing one belt, and 90% of the tag teams suck. Like, okay, for example, the New Day. I like them individually. I think they're great. Mm-hmm. As a tag team, oh my god, they suck. Because, like, it was at this Raw. They were chanting, New Day sucks! And you could hear it loud and clear. And then Big E on his Twitter went on a kind of like a heelish rant, sort of like, I sign your meals at 3 o'clock in the morning and yet you flip me off.
See, putting Big E as a heel, I think, was a mistake.
Yeah, he seems like a... You can't take that face seriously as a bad guy. He looks like he's going to give you a hug and a happy meal. He looks way too happy.
I mean, seriously, if you're going to do something with a character for WWE, how about we get rid of J&J Security and make Big E? I mean, if you really want to like put someone in the background, you basically make them Seth Rollins' bitches. But I think if you made Big E his security instead of J&J, not a lot of people are going to screw with Seth Rollins.
We have seen more of J&J security than we have of the fucking New Day. God. My God, that pisses me off.
The only reason why I know Jamie Noble's name is probably about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. He had a thing for Michelle McCool when she was still around.
Only reason I know is because Michael Cole won't let me forget it. Holy shit.
This is our first show, folks. We're trying to get to each other's rhythms here, but it's one of those things where it's kind of going to go off the rails a bit.
Yeah.
Back to basics here. AJ Lee, you know, if she does retire, hey. That's great.
You had a good run. No one can fault you for it.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Except for the Paige lesbian stuff. That stuff kind of sucked. But outside of that, it was great.
It's a little weird. Apparently, Extreme... we have a press release. Full WWE Network subscriber account announcement. Watch this year's Extreme Rules pay-per-view for free. Interesting. So apparently WWE Network surpasses 1.3 million subscribers.
Which I think now this means they're in the profitable, or at least they've broke even. Mm-hmm. I think I remember reading something. I think it was on PW Insider, or maybe even it was WrestleZone. Don't quote me on that. That said, in order for the network to be sustainable, it has to do X. And the fact that they're making Extreme Rules the free pay-per-view after a WrestleMania, because this WrestleMania was really well received when it really shouldn't have been, but we'll talk about that later. That's a really good idea to rope people in and keep them interested. Mm-hmm. When WWE does the free months, that's good. We had Survivor Series for free. We had Sting. We have WrestleMania, which was arguably really successful. I mean, 76,916 people, I think, at Levi's Stadium. And then this one, having Extreme Rules for free, people are still going to be riding the WrestleMania hype, which means I wonder if they'll do something big there. So, congratulations, WWE Network. You don't suck. And the fact that it's in like 100 and so countries. Now, Canada got it last year late. Up here, it costs us $11.99. It's spreading to more cable systems. However, though, we cannot access the app. Like, for example, if I wanted to stream this on my PlayStation 3, I can't. Because you have to be logged into the website to watch it there, or you have to watch it via... It's kind of like an on-demand thing on cable, and the back catalog kind of sucks from what I understand. Now, I myself use a proxy server, so I can get the US content on my PS3s and PS4s, because honestly, I'm not paying... I'll pay more for the convenience of having the app. But I don't know. Like, I'm really glad they're starting to get shit kind of figured out. Hopefully we'll see main events get back to where it's supposed to be. Because I know there was trouble with Sky News and the BBC with how they were scheduling broadcasting rights for that. Because it's like supposed to be over there and it can't be over here. Television rights are stupid, people. Just put it in simple English. But yeah, so that's what I have to say about that.
Well, let's get into WrestleMania proper here. WrestleMania 31 was held in the San Francisco Bay Area. It was an outside event. Finally, I've been waiting since. And the way I look at this is, and I know it depends on weather, it depends on where they're going to be and all that, but the last time we had an outside event for WrestleMania or any pay-per-view that I can remember was WrestleMania 24. I believe it was in Florida. I could be wrong. I'm not looking at any info on WrestleMania 24, but I love when they do the outside events because it's such a change of pace from what we've seen all year long.
Which it's funny because my wife Blair was watching this with me and she didn't like it being outside because it looks off. I'm not disagreeing with her, but I do like the outside WrestleManias because you do get a different feel from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's less claustrophobic. It seems more epic in scale, but you're at the mercy of the weatherman.
Right. So for WrestleMania 31, we had several big things happen. There was the tag team championship match between Tyson Kidd and Cesaro against the Fatal Four Way there. That was the kickoff match. We then had the second annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We had the Intercontinental Ladder Championship match. We had Orton versus Rollins. We had Triple H versus Sting. We had AJ and Paige versus the Bellas. We had Cena versus Rusev. We had the Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. And we had Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The results of these, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro won the tag team title. What do you think of Tyson and Cesaro winning?
You know what? They've got some really good chemistry, and I didn't like Tyson Kidd early on, but now he's, when you let him go, he's got some really good athleticism. He's a good performer. The problem is his character sucks. So with Cesaro getting buried last year, I'm glad to see him something to do. And honestly, I really like them. It's nice to see the tag team titles get at least passed around to someone different other than the Usos versus the clown show that was Miz now. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we got All right, next up we had the Under the Giant Battle Under the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Big Show won that. Did anybody not see that happening, that Big Show was going
to
win?
I think it would have been nice to give it to Sandow. I think that would have been nice for considering the crap, because they've been making fun of him for like ever. But I'm glad that Big Show got something cool. I like Big Show, but you can tell he doesn't have a whole lot left in him either, because his knees look like they're made out of broken glass.
Yeah. When I first kind of got back into it a little while ago, and I think where I've noticed Big Show is when he came back and he lost all this weight, and then they went into that whole storyline of Stephanie's going to threaten his family unless they do, you know, is when he first quote unquote joined the Authority. And I didn't really care. Like, the Big Show is better than that, in my opinion. You had the Intercontinental Championship ladder match. Daniel Bryan won this. Honestly, I'm glad for Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
When he first started, I could not stand him. I was in complete agreement with everybody else. I was in complete agreement with JBL. Oh, he's a goat face. We don't need him around here. And now it's like, after I've seen him on Total Divas and after I've seen him, you know, basically work his ass off, the Authority's wrong. He is not a B-plus player. He puts in his all.
Oh, yeah. Like, the thing with Bryan is he plays to the crowd. He's playing to a different body type than Vince McMahon's used to pushing, other than these big beefy looking motherfuckers. Daniel Bryan is, I think, represents the everyman, and I think that's why he's so popular. Plus, you see him, he does the make-a-wish stuff like John Cena. He takes time out of his day. Like, he's just, he's really popular with the crowd, and having him pushed is a really good thing. The problem I see with this, now, the match itself was fine. In fact, I thought it was actually kind of cool, is the Intercontinental belt is fucking trouble. I'd like you to, now, from here on out, count how many times he loses. He's already lost one since holding the title. So it's bad luck. However, though, if WWE turns it around and makes the Intercontinental mean something again by having Bryan hold it for, like, say, 7 months and actually win stuff, that'll be great for it, because the Intercontinental belt can mean something. Just in the last year, it means nothing.
See, this is the Intercontinental and the U.S. belts. They are two things where I think they need to be exclusive to one set of superstars each. And you can tell me this, and I know you will if I am. You can tell me if I'm being prejudicial here. The U.S. title needs to go to someone who is, you know, basically, you know, in the USA, or someone who is an actual American. You know, okay, you take John Cena and you take Bad News Barrett. Bad News Barrett is an Englishman. John Cena is an American. Okay. For me, I think the Intercontinental Championship belt should be on anybody that's completely different from the American standard of wrestling.
I
like Sheamus or Bad News Barrett or hell, even Hornswoggle could have it. I don't care. Anybody could have it.
I kind of like them both being up for grabs, and I like the idea of a foreigner holding the U.S. title, because it very much, in my opinion, builds upon the principles of your country. Any man from anywhere can accomplish something great. And the fact that it's the fact that it was on Rusev for so long, it's a heel thing, but it shows that in America you can accomplish anything. And although to him he was giving you guys the middle finger while holding it, but with Sheamus, it was like, hey, here's an Irishman and I've made good. That was really cool. I liked him.
Yeah, I loved when Sheamus had it. I loved when Bad News Barrett had it. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. Up next, we had Orton versus Rollins.
There were some really cool spots in this one.
There were some cool spots, but I mean, this is just, you know, former authority versus the future of the company, the quote-unquote future of the company. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love that Randy Orton is going against the authority. I love that he's not playing by their rules anymore. I think that's a great part of his character. But on, if I'm being honest, I have never really... You put Randy Orton in a match against anyone else that I like Cena or Triple H or, you know, anybody. Anybody else. It's like, I don't care. I want that other person to win. But you put Randy Orton in a match against Seth Rollins. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Randy Orton because I can't stand Seth Rollins.
There was one move he did. It was cool. Somehow Orton turned a curb stomp into an RKO and won.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was like video game hacking, how fast that happened. I'm like, holy shit. It was just really, really intense. I also like the fact that they didn't have J&J get involved much at all. Thank fucking Christ for that. But no, it was a legit fun match to fight. I really like Seth Rollins. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with him now. Now that he's no longer Mr. Money in the Bank. My God, I got so sick of hearing that.
Well, we get sick of hearing that every year, though. I mean,
but for Seth Rollins, it just seemed like just dragging it the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So after that match, we had Triple H versus Sting, and Triple H won that one.
Where do we start? I am for several reasons. Number one, why didn't RoboCop come out with Sting like he should have in the 90s? My God, that entrance was so stupid. Holy shit. I don't know. Like, there's one point in the intro where you see Triple H comes out in his Shao Kahn tinfoil Terminator costume, and the camera cuts to Sting, and you can almost see him whispering under his breath, "What the fuck?" Because it looks so stupid. I'm convinced they didn't tell him this was going to happen. They're like, "All right, Sting, go out there. We're going to have some cool guys with drums. Just go with it. Cool. Awesome." He comes out, does his thing, sees Triple H, and tries hard not to laugh. It was so stupid. Now, the match itself, I thought it was really slow, and it was just slow. You can tell Sting is not in the best of shape.
Yeah.
But he did have some really cool moments in it.
He did.
It's just he went out like a bitch. There's something so... Oh, sorry, Blanchard. Go ahead.
I don't necessarily think he went out like a bitch. I think... The whole point of this whole Sting coming back thing, I thought, was, hey, everybody, remember WCW?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what this whole thing has been. Hey, everybody, remember 10, 15, 20 years ago WCW? And honestly, didn't McMahon Jr., didn't Shane at one point own WCW?
As far as I understand, yeah.
I was really hoping to see Shane. I don't know what he's doing nowadays. I know he's probably not too in-depth with the company anymore, but I would have loved to have seen Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 31. But this whole match, I really think, wasn't about beating each other. It was about getting NWO back out there and getting the Old Age Outlaws and DX back together and all this and all that. And
well, here's the thing, though.
What I thought it was about.
Yeah, like I think you've kind of hit it, because this match was built entirely on nostalgia. And I guarantee you, a lot of those people in that crowd, they know who these people are, but they have no connection to them. I know who the NWO is. I know who DX is. Does it matter to me? Not in the fucking least. See, had this happened back in 2005 or say 2007, after WCW collapsed, that would have been great. This would have been awesome. See these people in their primes. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, who gives a shit? Now
it's 8 years too late.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think Sting is cool because I dig the whole crow look. But at the same time, dude, if this is your only match in WWE, and I don't think it's going to be, he'll probably get one more. They're already talking about him versus The Undertaker for next year. I don't know, man. Someone told me this, and I can't not disagree with it either. Someone told me that Vince McMahon is a very petty man, which I'm inclined to believe. And you look at how he bought WCW years ago. Was this the final fuck you? Like, oh, look, I beat your champion. Ha ha. You know what I mean? No, it seems mean.
I don't think it was that at all. I honestly think it was to introduce the current generation, not us, but like the kids and the other younger people, to what WCW was. I think that's really what this whole thing was about. And I think, as I already said, it was more so about that final parting shot with Triple H and Shawn Michaels and the other three guys, and then you got NWO and Sting and all that. I think those two money shots is what it was all about.
There were two spots in that match I thought that were really great, where he's got him in the Scorpion Deathlock thing, and you can see Triple H, he's hurt. Legitimate hurt, because there is a bruise on his ass the size of a frying pan. That could not have been easy to work through.
Kiss that, Vince.
And there's this other one, and this is only because I find it funny. The NWO and DX and all those guys come down at the bottom of the ramp, and they're beating the hell out of each other. You can see at one point Kevin Nash goes down, and he's grabbing his leg like somebody shot him. I'm pretty sure he pulled his quad or something during that moment, because he's like, ah! But
Kevin Nash, that guy, Kevin Nash. Every time I see him or hear about him or think about him at all, two things pop into my mind. The Russian from the 2004 Punisher movie and Super Shredder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Although, one other great moment is when Razor Ramon Scott Hall comes out and he does that weird little thing with his arms and his hands, like the NWO does. I thought that was funny. But they're very slowly charging the ring. Yeah. I think, I don't know, just I think with that one, they're playing on nostalgia. It was cool to see all these people finally fight, but it would have been awesome to see them fight when they could have given it 110%. Not 110%, and let's hope they don't keel over.
I think my favorite moment of the match is when, like, between Triple H and Sting, is when the bat broke the hammer.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
I liked that, but I was watching the match going, oh, look how conveniently this has broken right down the middle.
Yeah.
But still, it was a good moment, though.
It's a cool moment. After that, we had AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bellas.
Where do I start with this one?
I don't know. Where do you want to start?
You know what? I'm glad AJ and Paige won, because I think the Bellas were terrible champions. There was actually, this just came up on my Twitter when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. Someone has a GIF posted of AJ and Paige hugging. And just thank you so much along the bottom. Mm-hmm. I like this because if this was AJ's last match, at least you went out on top, so to speak. And it was fun. There were points where I think Paige legitimately almost hurt Brie when she threw her into the stairs. Like, holy shit, man, back it off a notch. But I don't know. Like, out of the two Bellas, I think Brie's the better wrestler, but I think Nikki's the better show person, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know. Just, and the fact
Brie is good in the whole revenge or defense of people. Like, you take her whole push with Stephanie.
Yeah.
That is where she excels. When something happens that she has to then retaliate and get somebody, that's where she excels. But as far as an overall character, Nikki really takes the cake.
Well, yeah, because she actually is defined and, hi, I'm a bitch, but I'm awesome. The thing with Brie is, hi, I'm a Bella. With Daniel Bryan, yes, yes. And, okay, there's one thing I can't stand about Brie Bella, and I hate bringing this up, but on Total Divas, we found out what Brie mode was. Brie mode is when she turns into a raging alcoholic. I love it when she goes Brie mode in the ring and I'm looking for the bottle somewhere here. It's so stupid. Like, Brie mode, chug Jim Beam. It's so fucking dumb. But hey, it sells t-shirts, I guess.
Yeah, I'll say this about Brie and Nikki. I miss their old trick, and they can't do it anymore.
Oh, the because Twin Nikki, Magic thing?
I miss Twin Magic. That was one of the coolest things about them when they started, was Twin Magic. And don't get me wrong, I appreciate Nikki and, you know, her hot-ass body, but they almost look like fraternal twins at this point. They really do. They do not look identical to me at all.
Yeah, no. Maybe a little in the face, but not so much anymore. I'm thinking, all right, that's kind of weird. Like, you know what? They're more likable on Total Divas than they are in WWE. And that really sucks to say that, too.
Yeah, them and Eva Marie are the only two storylines I even care about on Total Divas. Because honestly, that's the thing. Yeah. Natalya is perfect in the ring. Like, the match she just had against, oh crap, who was it? Oh, it wasn't Naomi, it was, oh god, I can't remember. It was just on SmackDown.
I'm out of blank here, I'm sorry.
I can't remember, folks. Anyway, but Natalya on the WWE, on Raw, on SmackDown, when she's doing her performing in ring, she's great. When you watch her and TJ on Total Divas,
she's neurotic.
Well, there's that, but it's boring as shit.
I think my problem with those two is I'm not sure whether the marriage troubles are real, and if they are, that's very unfortunate. But yes. Natalya, relax. Sit down, have a glass of water, chill out. Things will work themselves out. I appreciate you love your cats. Believe me, I'm the same way. But holy shit, lady, just calm down. Have some dip. Yeah. And same with, like, Tyson Kidd. He comes across as such this aloof, not asshole, but like the guy who forgets to bring the Cheetos when you specifically ask him to bring the Cheetos. He's like, oh, hey, I just showed up. Did you bring the Cheetos? No. Oh, you know what I mean? Just inconsiderate is what I get from him.
He does not look like he is old enough to be in a relationship. I'm not saying Natalia is old. Far from it. She looks great for her age.
I think she's under 30, isn't she?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But Tyson Kidd looks like a roided up 14-year-old male. He really does to me. I don't know why. So moving on for WrestleMania 31, we have Cena versus Rusev for the U.S. Championship. This match was amazing.
There was a lot of fun to have this one. Yeah. It was just, one of my favorite things was the intro to this match. We get Rusev and fucking tanks, Russian soldiers. It was great. However, you know what sucked? John Cena got nothing. He gets his little towel and that was it. I was expecting WWE to pay out the ass and have fighter jets buzz the arena or to have him parachute down on some giant eagle with Uncle Sam waving fireworks or something. This should have been a spectacle. Instead, towel. Let's beat the crap out of each other. But
they've really done John a disservice in the last 4 to 5 years. I love the guy. He's an amazing worker. He's an amazing wrestler. But they've almost had him drop his saluting, his little, you know, salute he would do, you know, for the troops and everything. And this is a guy who, when he is a work, you know, when he does, you know, work for the company, he's at tribute to the troops. He's doing everything he can for Make-A-Wish or for whatever. And this entrance of his, here's my little doily, and then he runs halfway down the ramp. When he gets to the halfway point of the ramp is when he salutes. Normally, when he used to do it, like back, okay, again, I will reference WrestleMania 24. When he did it there, he came out, he did his little hands up in the air, whatever the hell gang sign that's supposed to be. I know it's not a gang sign, but, you know, he did that. And then before he comes down, they do a little pyro. He does his big salute and he goes running down the thing. And now it's like they've kind of taken that away from him. And I just, like, why? What's the point of that?
I don't know. It's just, see, one of the things I like about Cena's entrance, and this is just more for him on SmackDown and Raw, is he'll interact with the crowd. If there's like a Make-A-Wish kid there, guaranteed, here's my shirt, here's my hat, whatever.
Right.
But for this one, he had nothing special. And I'm thinking, this is WrestleMania, dude. Where's, like I said, where's the giant eagle and the fighter jets? Mm-hmm. Instead, you get a towel.
Yes. And the match itself was amazing.
It was a lot of good back and forth.
It was a lot of good back and forth, a lot of good submissions between the two of them, between the, you know, I'm just going to call it the STF.
Oh, do you mean his, like, lock thing or whatever?
Yeah,
that's the STF.
I'm just going to call it the STF, because it just, like, I don't know, you know, and then Rusev has his little thing
The accolade.
And what I love about it is how they each were able to counter each other's best fit, you know, kind of submission moves. I thought that was really cool and really great. I'm happy that neither one of them passed out. Like, that's one thing I can't. It's fine if it happens on Raw or SmackDown or whatever else. If you have somebody pass out, especially at WrestleMania, it better be for something bigger than the U.S. Championship. Or make the U.S. Championship match something bigger than just a regular match. Make it a no holds barred, or make it a no disqualification. Make it something bigger than what it was. And the end, I think the reason why Cena did not check on Lana is because the way they have the storyline.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
America versus... I don't think it was... Cena wouldn't have done that.
It just seemed kind of out of character, you know what I mean? But once again, for the purposes of the storyline, this has to happen. Although it was funny when she randomly threw her shoe at him.
Yeah, seeing Lana run around the ring barefoot, that was a little hilarious. Because I remember when she first threw the first one, Cena pointed at the referee and pointed at her, and referee's like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah,
The shoe, and the refs are usually so good about this, the first shoe was still in the ring on the edge of the apron there on the other side of the ring. I'm like, why didn't the ref just, I don't know. I really did like it. And I'm glad Cena was the one to finally give Rusev the defeat he so deserved.
Yeah.
Russian bastard.
Although right. It was kind of fun though, watching those two go back and forth. Cause that was a good storyline. I thought, I mean, yeah, it's cliche as shit, but it was still fun. Right. Plus I really hope somehow they bring back Rusev's lawyer, because that guy I'm pretty sure they found in like an Arby's parking lot and just said, here, speak Russian, and he's like, Mr. Cena will see you now, and it was just so fucking dumb, but I loved it.
So the next thing that happened at WrestleMania was The Rock and UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion Ronda Rousey confronting The Authority. Now, I like The Rock. The Rock is awesome. The Rock is...
he's the Rock.
He's the Rock, but you know, he's the walking tall guy. He's the runaround guy. He's or not a rundown guy. Thank you. He's Hobbs in the Fast and Furious films. I love that he was the voice of Cliff Jumper in Transformers Prime. I mean, absolutely love The Rock. But I did not know who the hell he was this moment when he pointed to her, and I'm like, who the hell is that chick? Because I don't pay, outside of WWE folks, I don't pay a lot of attention to anything else when it comes to this type of sports entertainment. So there's that. And I'm like, oh, okay, so shit's going to go down. He brings her into the ring. The Authority comes down. They confront them. And she basically suplexes Triple H.
That fucking hip toss was so good.
Yeah, she hip tossed him. Yeah, I'm sorry. Not suplex. That was probably the best hip toss in WWE history.
I'd say that was the best hip toss at least this year for sure. It looked so good. And she could legit beat the shit out of Triple H. Like, it was a really fun promo to watch. And I love that when Steph's like, this is my ring. Get the hell out of my arena. And Ronda's like, every ring I step into is my ring. And then she basically breaks Steph's arm when she tries to slap her. She's like, bitch, please, I will end you. It's over 9,000. And it was just, it was such a good spot. And that actually made me look up Ronda Rousey more. Like I said, she's my wallpaper on my phone now. I actually may start watching UFC because of this. But yeah, it was a really good spot. Plus, when The Rock says, Steph, that look means she's going to reach down your throat, pull out your insides, and play jump rope with your fallopian tubes. That was fucking awesome.
Okay, you got to look. Okay, we've already said in this episode that we're in the PG era of WWE, but there are certain stars of the WWE, past and present, that will never really always follow that. The Rock is one of them. He is one of those types of characters that he don't give a damn. He's going to say whatever candy-ass thing he wants to say, no matter who it is, no matter what era it is. And I love that about him.
He's one of the guys, I think, they'll just let him go off script. They're like, okay, here's what we want you to say. Just follow along-ish. Because he's the greatest trash talker in the company's history, I think.
Mm-hmm. My buddy, you have anything else to say about the confrontation?
It was great. I really hope we see more of her in the WWE, like, because I think Ronda Rousey would be a great person to have, even at ringside for certain things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really hope Dana White and Vince McMahon can see eye to eye on something. So fucking F.
The next thing we had at WrestleMania 31 was The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. Now,
where do you start with this one?
Okay, well, I'm going to start here. My buddy Optibotomus on YouTube and Twitter and all that stuff, my buddy Paul, a.k.a. Optibotomus, he wanted to get into WWE again. And one of the things he got into, or one of the things that he tried to watch was the Raw where Wyatt was still the Wyatt family, and it was the whole, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands thing and everything else. And, oh, I am not a fan of Bray Wyatt. I like his fighting style, but I don't like his character. I don't like the way – it's just too – The Undertaker I get, okay? He's the dead man. I get that. Bray Wyatt is supposed to be some sort of
cult leader that no longer has a cult, but he has scarecrows now.
Yeah, he has scarecrows now. Yeah, he's kind of like the really, like if you took the Buddy Christ and painted him black.
See, I like Bray Wyatt, but they don't know what to do with him now.
And this whole thing with the Undertaker, like Bray Wyatt calling out the Undertaker. I want a better match than the physicality of the match was great. I liked it. I thought it was cool. I'm glad the Undertaker beat him, but I want a better challenge for the Undertaker. Bray Wyatt is no, I mean, the Undertaker is the only person ever to break out and counter the Sister Abigail.
There have been others, but it's rare.
Yeah.
It's not very common.
No. Not at all. I want something bigger for the Undertaker. I don't want just like Undertaker versus Cena or Undertaker versus Seth Rollins or Undertaker versus El Torito. I want something bigger and better. And honestly, at this point in the Undertaker's career, especially after last year, I really think they ought to retire him. I really do. Because without the streak... Don't get me wrong. The man has accomplished amazing things in his career. But as I said earlier, he's getting up there in age.
He's like 56 or something, isn't he?
Yeah, he's over 50, something like so. That. Jeez. I thought you were going to say he's over 9,000.
Yeah, he's over 9,000. Now, the thing about the Bray Wyatt's Undertaker match, Bray Wyatt was working on a sprained ankle, which I give him massive respect for that. Like, they had this thing casted up until he went out on the ramp, and then they cut it. Mm-hmm. He must have been shot up for, like cortisone or something, so he didn't feel it. But the thing is about this match, it didn't seem like it meant anything. I mean, this is supposed to be the new face of fear, but you should have built this storyline up then. Okay, I'm done fighting with Dean Ambrose. Undertaker, woo. Like, it didn't mean anything. Plus, not that Bray Wyatt doesn't have his cult anymore. He seems neutered in a way. I mean, he's a great fighter. The character's awesome. But make up your fucking mind. Is he scary? Is he an undead wizard? Does he have all this crazy crap going on?
You said an undead wizard, and all I can think of is...
Well, that's the Undertaker.
No, I know, but... Yeah, that's the Undertaker, but in regards to Bray Wyatt, if Bray Wyatt was an undead wizard, I would just be waiting for people from Hogwarts to show up. Harry Potter, the undead wizard.
See, you know what would be cool? Is if Bray Wyatt could corrupt people to start a new Wyatt family. Like, in my mind, and this someone's probably going to call me stupid in the comments for this one, I would have loved to have seen him turn Dean Ambrose. And what I mean by that is saying, all right, Dean, you're the lunatic fringe. Give in to your madness. These people rejected you. Your brothers betrayed you. Show them what fear is. That could have been cool.
See, I didn't like Ambrose when the Shield was still together. Really, the only one that I really paid any attention to was Roman, simply for the Superman punch.
Which is his only other move besides a spear.
Besides a spear, I know. But, I mean, look at what he's done with his Superman punch. I mean, come on, Superman punching the Big Show and nearly knocking him on his ass. I mean, that was pretty awesome. But when the Shield first came out, I liked them as a group. I didn't like them as individuals when they first debuted.
See, I like them as a group, but I love them more as individuals. Like, I love Dean Ambrose because that guy...
Now I do, but, like, what I'm saying is when the group debuted, I liked when they were all together and all on the same page. But when you have Dean going off and doing these long-ass rants when it was still the Shield, I didn't really care for Dean. Now that the Shield is gone, I love Dean and I love Roman. Seth Rollins can just go jump off a cliff.
See, I think Seth Rollins makes an awesome bad guy. But
he does.
But now, who do you set him up against? Because Lesnar ain't going to be around that many times this year. So you better give him someone legit to fight for the next little bit.
I don't
See, I would love to have seen a true brother versus brother match. Like, have them fight against the Shield and have it fight for a title or have it mean something. I don't know.
That's what they need to do. SummerSlam or Survivor Series, one of the bigger pay-per-views, have the Shield triple threat for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Or maybe the loser has to quote-unquote retire or something. You know what
I mean? No, not with those guys. Like, I could see that for someone older.
Well, no.
Someone that's...
The main reason I say that, because let's say Dean Ambrose wants to go shoot a movie or something. This is a good way to get him off TV for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, like, I'd love to see them totally resolve the brother versus brother things. I don't think it was ever, in my opinion, truly final nail in the coffin. It was like, oh, he betrayed us. Whatever. But still.
The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt, the... It was a, after last year, anything The Undertaker does, anyone they put him up against, it's not going to have this, because he no longer has the streak. And I know I've already said this in this episode, but it just seems like, hey, this is a way to get him into WrestleMania again.
Yeah.
And I just don't like that. I just wish they'd make a decision whether he's going to, because let's face it, he doesn't show up a lot. I mean, he shows up in prep, like the road to WrestleMania, but you're not going to see him for Survivor Series. You're not going to see him for SummerSlam. You're not going to see him for any of the other ones the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, make it mean something and give me something legit. I mean, I wasn't even happy with the way this match ended. Honestly, I was like, I didn't expect Bray Wyatt to win. Part of me wanted him to win, but then again, there's a saying, and I forget who said it precisely, but it goes something along the lines of, you start out the top, but you go out on your back. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want The Undertaker's potentially last match to be defeating to Bray Wyatt, but The Undertaker doesn't need the win. Bray Wyatt does.
Yeah,
to make him a legit threat. If there's going to be a new face of fear in WWE, he needed to win this. Now he's like, whoa, well, you lost. Sorry, pussy fart. Moving on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you can't neuter your bad guys all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, Randy Orton's an awesome bad guy. Seth Rollins, an awesome bad guy. Brock Lesnar is fucking death on two legs. But everybody else, you know, where's your fringe element? I'm like, I'm not buying, say, Titus O'Neil as a bad guy. You know what I mean?
And there's so many characters, there's so many wrestlers in WWE right now that are the joke character, because Santino isn't. I mean, Santino's around, but he's not around as he used to be. But, I mean, half of the mid or low card, when I'm watching Raw, SmackDown, I fast forward through anything with people that aren't the major players in the WWE, I always fast forward it.
They need to bring up some people from there, because there's some really good fighters down there. They just they don't use them.
No, not at all.
I mean, although it still boggles my mind that Fandango is still around. Although I don't think I've seen him on TV in like a month or two, arguably.
Yeah, it's been a few months, yeah.
But I don't know why they thought having him with Rosa was a good idea. In his erotic flamingo dancer thing. Like, you changed his theme, and people love the theme. Now he looks like an asshole. But, I don't know, there are just so many low-carder and mid-carders that should do more, and they don't let them. I mean, one of my favorite mid-card guys is, I love Kofi Kingston. Because when that man flies, he flies. And watching him live, dude, you've never... You will think the guy's Spider-Man from the way he moves in the ring. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. But he doesn't get to do anything. Now he's in the New Day, which means, hello, being buried and hated.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. There's just, there needs to be more variety on the roster. Less goofy shit. Give us something a little bit more serious.
Yeah, I remember when, and I know it's another goofy character, but I remember when R-Truth came out, when they first... when they first were going to do his introduction, they're like, oh, he used to be in jail, and he used to do this, and he used to be this, and he used to be this hardened criminal. And the biggest thing he has now is, what's up? And it's like, oh, I mean, I like R-Truth now. I think it's fine, but I don't know. But Taker needs something. Like, Taker versus Michaels, that was epic. You know, there are no other epics at this point to put up against Taker. There just aren't.
Yeah, because maybe putting Bray Wyatt against him was a little too soon. Maybe in like a year more of setup.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're kind of right, though. There is no epic final battle outside of maybe, fuck, I don't know. Not even Triple H, because who cares? Because he lost to him before anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the Triple H Taker stuff's already done.
Sting, that's the only thing you could possibly do. And even
Taker
then,
versus Sting, that would...
And even then, it's going to be two old guys trying not to die.
Yeah, that would not work at all. All right, so we have the final nail in the coffin here. We have the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Absolutely, this match was amazing.
It was really cool to see Roman Reigns get tossed around like a rag doll.
Welcome to Suplex City, bitch.
I love like... that. That better be on a t-shirt at some point. Because he's the mayor of Suplex City.
I mean, I almost thought it was more than what Cena got when it was Brock versus Cena. But Reigns versus Lesnar was awesome because Reigns just wouldn't let him get into his head. Reigns was smiling and laughing and just kind of, even King, even Jerry the King Lawler said it. It's like he's having fun. It's like every time Lesnar pulls him up and then pulls him, you know, brings him down for another suplex, it's like Roman is just having a blast.
I thought this one had a lot of really good physicality, a lot of really cool moments in the match. Like, my favorite was watching to go from an F5 into like three suplexes, Roman would still get back up. And then seeing how bloody Lesnar got, because he got cut open nicely by the end of that match. But yeah, it made Roman look strong. It didn't make Lesnar look weak, which I think was because a lot of people weren't happy about this. This shouldn't have been as awesome as it was.
Yeah.
But the problem is, though, the ending, I really liked it because I didn't expect it because I figured they're going to drag this out for another month anyway.
No, I knew because you got to look at it. I mean, when's Money in the Bank? What is it, July?
July, I think, yeah.
I mean, Money in the Bank is July. WrestleMania is the end of March. You need something. You need somewhere for the Money in the Bank kind of thing. Like, you need to find new contestants for the Money in the Bank for the next championship contract for that part of WWE. And I figured Rollins would attempt to do this. And as Roman said on this past week's SmackDown, he needed 30 more seconds. And he would have had it. I want to see Roman with the belt. I really do. Because I think he deserves it. I think he's put in a lot of friggin' hard work in and out of the ring. Rollins coming in and just scoring one. And not even on Lesnar. Like, Rollins is... he's such a sissy heel when it comes to being a heel. Because he'll take the easiest road instead of, you know, stepping up to the challenge.
He's a weasel.
He's oh God. Swiper, no swiping. Oh well, God. Yeah. I can't believe you said that.
That's what he is. He's a weasel. He's an interesting weasel, but he's a weasel. As for Reigns holding the title, I don't think he's ready for it just yet, but this went a long way into proving me, you know what? You're on the right road.
Yeah.
You are certainly at least a year or two out from being legit. Although if you had to ask people, who do you want it on, Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan, you know where this is going to go.
Well, yeah, it's going to go to Bryan, but
Reigns is doing a lot to, I think, get his fans over the Royal Rumble bullshit. This, right. I think, did a lot for his credibility.
Absolutely.
Because he didn't look weak. He was able to work that long and literally have the shit kicked out of him.
Yep.
And I don't know, just I have a lot more respect for Reigns now than I did previously.
Yeah. I mean, he worked his ass off in that match, and every time he landed a Superman punch on Lesnar, and Lesnar just looks at him like, did you touch me? You know, it's kind of like the old Bill Cosby Buck routine where, you know, Cosby comes in, buck buck number two, a piece of paper landed. It's like one of those things where Brock just kind of brushes it off, and it just, I don't know. I really do wish, even if it was like, here's what I wish would have happened. Roman gets it. And then Seth goes in on Raw and cashes. That's what I wanted to happen. That's what I really wanted to happen, because I wanted Roman to have that win. He's won it at least one time. Even if he doesn't get to hold on to it too long, you know he can get it back if Seth cashes in and whatever. But having Seth cash in, before I get to that, overall, how did you feel about this WrestleMania after you finished watching?
You know what? It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Because going into this, it was a lot of, man, this is going to suck. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it changed. It was rather enjoyable. All things. I mean, there were some slow matches. Ultimately, Sting and Triple H, Bray Wyatt and The Undertaker, I think, were some of the worst things I'd seen just because they were so slow. Mm-hmm. But the ladder match was great. I'm glad to see what happened with the Divas. The Roman Reigns, Lesnar, Seth Rollins thing was really cool. And Rusev versus Cena. You know what? Overall, I'm pretty happy. I'd give this about a 7 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And most of it's because of the spectacle of it. It seemed really... It worked because it was weirdly quirky. And plus that whole Ronda Rousey promo, that really kind of put... that put it over for me. So I'm like, all right, that's funny shit. I like that.
To quote Billy Bob, a tan, a fucking tan. I have to take 2 points off for the Taker Wyatt match and for the what was the other one? You just mentioned it.
Rusev Cena or
no? The Triple H and Sting.
Yeah.
Like they built that up, and it turned into team. Versus team, which I liked at the end of it, but I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Solidly, I enjoyed WrestleMania 31. I thought it was great. I want to say really quick before I move on to the aftermath of it that anyone that can afford but isn't a subscriber to WWE Network for $9.99, it's the best value you're going to get, because anyone in their wrong mind who went to their cable provider and paid $65 for WrestleMania 31, you're nuts.
Yeah, you got kind of ripped off and you paid $65 for that. But 10's worth it.
Absolutely. I love that. Because, I mean, technically you're giving, I mean, if you look at it, and that's not counting the tax that WWE might tack onto that if they do here in the States. I don't know. But for 12 months... you're essentially spending just under $125 for WWE Network, and you get thousands upon thousands of hours of content. So, next thing I want to bring up before we kind of close this out is the aftermath of WrestleMania on Monday Night Raw. You did watch Raw, right?
I watched about half of it just because I fell asleep. But it's one of the better Raws I've seen in a while, though.
Did you see what happened, though? Did you see the major event of the beginning of Raw?
Where Lesnar tried to kill people?
Yes.
Yeah, where he F5s poor Michael Cole.
I know everyone in the right... I know everyone in the world usually hates Michael Cole, but...
You didn't deserve fucking that.
No. And really, I didn't even... until Steph had to point it out, I didn't realize it was Michael Cole. I thought he was still trapped under there with JBL and Booker T. I didn't realize it was him. But Brock coming out, the authority in Seth Rollins pretending to give him his rematch... and then him going off because he's not going to get his way. This is the thing I don't like about Lesnar's character. He's like a 7-year-old. Or, oh no, it's worse than that. He's like a 2-year-old with the terrible twos. When he's not going to get his way, he's going to go off, he's going to throw things. That is, we've seen the announce table destroyed before. I think that's the worst thing I've ever seen done with an announce table. from a single wrestler point of view, from someone that is that goddamn strong, he didn't destroy the table. He just flipped it and basically crushed people underneath it. And there are just certain things you don't do. And most of the wrestlers in WWE know this. Unless you're in a storyline to go against the announcers or whatever, that's fine. But if you're not, and if you're just doing it to do it, that's wrong. And I am kind of glad that Steph indefinitely suspended him. I know why. I mean, in the real world, I'm sure it's because he doesn't want to work again until whatever the hell he wants to get the championship back. As far as when I say work, I mean us actually seeing him on Raw or SmackDown, which he probably won't ever be on SmackDown. They'll just put him on Raw. This past Monday night, the Raw after WrestleMania, it was a real heartbreaker for me because I don't want to see any of the support staff, taken out like that.
Well, it was probably some local jobber that got his ass kicked, but still, it was kind of insane just to see him do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. I don't know. And I know everyone doesn't want Cena to get the championship because, what if he breaks Flair's record and blah, 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 blah. Records are made to be broken, folks. That's the stupidest thing with the whole Cena thing. And I know a lot of people, including you, probably don't want to see Cena with the belt. But
I don't mind as long as it means something. And if Cena's ready to go, I don't mind him taking something special like that. I'm okay with that.
I mean, I know they're not going to do it right now because he's got the whole storyline with the U.S. belt. But Cena with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship meant something at the beginning of the year. And what I mean by beginning of the year, I mean beginning of WWE's year, because they announced WWE 15. He's going to be on the cover. He's a 15-time champion, blah, 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 blah. And I get they want to do a push on Rollins and Reigns and all that stuff, and that's all well and good. I want to see him at least have it again once this year, if possible. I don't think it's going to happen because of the U.S. storyline, but I don't know. I just – the only other two people I'd like to see have it at this point is Reigns and maybe Ambrose. But I think Ambrose is less ready for it than Reigns is. I think Reigns is – he's a half – percent away from being ready. He's at 99 point whatever.
Physically maybe, but on the mic he sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you need a champion that can talk. You need a champion who can who can capture the crowd's charisma. Ambrose can do that.
Ambrose can do that, and so can Daniel Bryan. But Daniel Bryan has the Intercontinental belt, which I don't think he's going to hold on to much longer.
I think he'll hold it for a while, and I think if he holds it for a while and goes well, I think maybe they'll give him another shot at the big one, but they have to see how his neck's going to hold up for a year.
They have to see how his head's going to hold up. Oh, my God. On SmackDown this past week, they had him – they had Barrett on commentary. And it was Brian. Who was Brian facing? I forget. It was Daniel Bryan versus somebody. And it was Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
Yeah.
They had Bryan out by the announce table, and Barrett just rips his headphones off, goes up, and bull hammers him like I've never seen a bull hammer like this, because the bull hammer basically drew blood on Bryan's forehead, and it's like, wow, I like Wade Barrett, but damn, that was kind of maddening right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, you got anything else you want to bring up?
You know what? No, I'm good. I really hope you guys like this first episode. If you want to send us feedback, for me, you can reach me at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Subject line: Mayhem Mics with a C, not a K. And this was a lot of fun, actually, just getting a chance to talk about this. Hopefully, we'll learn more month to month. Not sure what Mike's going to pick for us to review off the network, but hopefully you guys can all follow along with us. I think the next one is Extreme Rules.
Yep.
I think that's at towards the end of the month.
Yep. What I'm probably going to look at on the network, at least to start, is maybe a couple of the documentaries on a couple superstars. So maybe like Edge's documentary or the Hardys documentary. Something simple, something that, you know, chronicles the superstars is what I'm probably going to be looking at more so than just watching an old match. Maybe we at some point, for Spotlight on the Network, we could do, you know, WrestleMania Rewind, where we take a look at a past WrestleMania. Like, oh, that's what we could do. Yeah, however long this goes, if we get to WrestleMania 32, maybe we can look at WrestleMania 22. So WrestleMania 10 years before kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That might be interesting. But let us know. You can shoot feedback for me. Feedback at geekcastradio.com.
Girl, bye.
You are now leaving Suplex City for the year.
Vote Lesnar.
Vote against him.
Suplex City, bitch.